Well, I'm going to be reading out of the book of Luke. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from New American Standard, maybe a little bit different from yours, but it's going to be pretty close, I think. We're going to take a look at Luke 7 and verses 1 through 10. And I will read that first. So Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, the third gospel of the New Testament. And it starts out like this: when he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. When he had heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to be my slave, and to my slave, to do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And those who had been sent returned to the house. They found the slave in good health. Well, I have a friend who was in the military, who's now a pastor. But when he was in the military, he was being bused to basic training. And so all of these guys were in this big bus, and they all got one by one out of the bus. And immediately, as they were getting out of the bus, there were some drill sergeants outside the bus, and they began to yell at them and yell at them and yell at them with all kinds of stuff. And basically, they were trying to break them down. They were trying to get them to either get angry or laugh. Okay? Well, he said that as he was getting off the bus and all of this commotion and things were going on and they were getting yelled at and so on, he saw some of those around him sort of chuckle and laugh a little bit. Well, what they did was they took those guys that laughed, and they lined them up against the wall with their noses touching the wall. And then for 20 minutes, they told them to begin to laugh at the wall. Ha, 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 at the wall. And they're saying, "No, not loud enough. Louder." And so they were, you know, drilling them to laugh at the wall. And so as my friend was looking at this situation, it sort of looked kind of ridiculous to him, and he almost was beginning to laugh himself. And so what he said was that he started to bite his tongue very hard so that the pain of biting his tongue would be greater than the look of this ridiculous nature of man lined up against a wall. And he got out of it. But for the next about 20 minutes or 30 minutes after they were laughing at the wall, they told them to apologize now to the wall, okay, for laughing at the wall. So that's, they said, "Sir Wall, I am sorry for laughing at you, sir. Sir Wall, I am sorry for laughing at you, sir. Sir Wall, I am sorry for laughing at you, sir. Okay? So they had to do this straight for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And the idea there was, now that you get off this bus and you are here, you have no more authority than the wall that you are staring at. That's the idea. Because they're getting them into the place where they could accept authority. Now, when we look at this passage here today, it talks about authority and who is really worthy of this authority and the faith in the person with the authority. And the question is, can we really trust the person that we deem worthy of authority over our lives? Now, the good news is that the text that we have this morning and that we've read is that we can see the true authority of the person is both worthy and we can have complete faith in him. And complete, you may say, you might question that. No one is worthy of complete faith and trust. Well, that is precisely the point of the passage. I want to look at basically three questions here as we look at this passage, as I kind of indicated already. First, the question of who is worthy. Secondly, the question of authority. And third, the question of faith. When we first look at the first question of who is worthy, we look at centurions. I don't know if you know a lot about centurions. Maybe some of you may know and some of you may not. But the centurions were Gentile, that is, non-Jewish military leaders. And in Jesus' day, they oversaw anywhere from about 60 to 160 soldiers. So that's where this centurion was here. And this centurion apparently had a very good relationship with the Jewish people. He was well respected. We can see that. And he was probably quite wealthy since he built a synagogue for them in their city. And we see that he had compassion since he cared about his own servant and his health. We see in a parallel passage in Matthew 8 that this same slave or servant had some sort of paralytic problem that was really overwhelming him. It was tormenting him, the passage says. So he was in a lot of hurt, and he cared about him. And we see that he must have heard about the things that Jesus was doing and that he certainly had the ability to heal. Now, isn't that amazing in and of itself that a certain centurion, a non-Jewish person, heard about Jesus walking around and healing many and that he himself believed that Jesus could do the same for his own slave? Wow, that's pretty amazing. The Jewish elders, they came to him and they would be like lay leaders, I suppose, in the church today, wise lay leaders. And so they came to Jesus and they told him that since the centurion both loved their nation and built the synagogue, that he was worthy to have Jesus come and save the life of this dying slave by healing him. And it says they earnestly implored him. That is, they earnestly begged and pleaded with him on behalf of the slave and of the centurion. You know, think of things that we have been given for particular efforts in our own lives. 10 or 20 years, plaque, let's say, for serving a company, but an award perhaps for a school project or sports, music, community involvement. And of course, military awards, medals. These are things that we consider people quite worthy of, and rightly so. And so Jesus, without question, begins to walk down to where this man's house is. He's going to heal this slave. Jesus has compassion. He's not like the yelling sergeants out there. He wants to help. He has compassion. He's looking out for these people. So he begins to walk in that direction. And then we see the centurion's perspective of worthiness, right? Because he sends friends out to Jesus to meet him. And he says, "Don't trouble yourself. I am not worthy to come to you." So his perspective already is that, you know, I don't even want to see this man because I am unworthy to even come to him. Wow. So he sends friends out to do that. That's amazing in and of itself. He did not even consider himself worthy that Jesus would come under his own roof. He didn't want him to come that far. The centurion actually switched everything up. Jesus was the worthy one. Now, again, if we remember, the Jewish elders were saying, he, the centurion, is worthy to have you to do this for him because he loves our nation. He built the synagogue. He did all of these things worthy of you, Jesus. But the centurion looked at it the other way. Jesus actually is higher rank than myself. I don't consider myself worthy to even have him come under my own roof. So, being a centurion, he understands authority, and this is the second one. The question of authority. How does he respond? He basically says, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority." Now we're all under authority. All of us, in some way, shape, or form. We may not like it, but we are. Whether to be city officials, you know, in government, in school, various places, we all have authority that's in our lives, in the church. Various places, there are people who set up as authority over us in our lives. And so, this centurion understands authority. He's been through basic training already. He understands authority. So he says, "I too am a man under authority. When I say to my soldiers, go, they go. When I say, come, they come. When I say to my servants, do this, they do it. No questions asked. They do it." He understands that kind of authority. And so the centurion is saying, just say the word. Just say, do this for my servant. And I know he will be healed. Wow. He understands authority. Do we? Do we understand authority and authority of our great King? You know, because, as I've entitled this message, I can look back again, faith in the true Commander-in-Chief. The true Commander-in-Chief. He looks at Jesus. He's a true Commander-in-Chief. Why? Because he is ruler over all. And if he can heal, and if he can actually take command over the environment and those around and command people to be well, that's a much, much higher authority that he has that is directly from God himself. Wow. And he is God. The last one is the question of faith. You know, look at how Jesus looked at this. He marveled, it says. He marveled at his faith. It says there that in verse 9, Jesus heard this after he said this, and he marveled at him, and he turned and he said to the crowd. So he turned around and he said to the crowd following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. You know, many of the people that were following him had Jesus touch him, touch them, you know, put mud on their eyes, do many various things, but he was in their presence. But he was far away. He was at a distance. He didn't even come to his house. And he said, just say the word, because I know you can do this. And he marveled at his faith, this non-Jewish, Gentile man, to believe that Jesus could do such a great thing. That's great faith, isn't it? Great faith. Now, the Bible also says we can have faith as small as a mustard seed. That's where it all starts. Faith in the one who made us. He created us for him, for his use, for his glory, for his honor. And true honor and glory and majesty all go back to him, because he created us. He's the perfect one. And we can thank him for that. So Jesus marveled. And now Matthew's account of the same says that from that very moment, from the very moment that Jesus said the word, his servant was healed. In Luke, they show that, you know, when he comes back, sure enough, they see the servant is in complete health. And he was paralyzed. He was in torment. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have made a sacrifice for the freedom of our country. And for even being here, worshiping today, we can give thanks. Think of that. We have the freedom to worship. There's no higher thing, no higher calling. You know, in that question of worthiness, worship, that whole worship is worth-ship. He is worthy to be worshipped. Worth-ship, that's kind of where it comes from. Worthiness, he is worthy. Because he made us, he created us, and he gives us true freedom. And we honor those, again, who have sacrificed. Because we notice that those who are worthy make a great sacrifice. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us, because he was whipped, he was beaten, he went to a cross. And he made the greatest sacrifice of all, because he died on a cross to save us from sin, which has eternal consequences. And he is worthy because he did that. Not only did he do that, but he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again and showed that he is victorious over that sin. And he enables us to live for him and to worship him. He heals us from all of that, from our sin. And we can praise him. And you may be thinking of others in your life also that have passed on, that have made an enormous difference in your life. That's what I often do when I think of a Memorial Day as well. I had a mother that is just a wonderful, wonderful, godly example of Jesus in her life. And she died of cancer about 6 years ago or so. And I know many of you have experienced many of, you know, in that kind of situation. And we think about them, we honor them for what they have done in our lives, how much difference they've made. I think of the kind of leader that Jesus was. He was a servant leader. And he went from the highest, highest in heaven down to the lowest in earth as a servant. I think of an illustration where I was—I used to work at Fairview Hospitals as a quality analyst, and we had this conference. And there's this man that spoke at the conference. His name is Captain D. Michael Abershoff, and he became the captain of the USS Benfold in the Navy. And I was just so amazed by his story, because when he first came in to go to this ship, what he was looking around was at, you know, in the Navy, apparently what they do, I haven't been there, but it was what they do, is they, I mean, clean the entire ship from top to bottom, paint, everything looks just great, perfect, right? And then the previous captain would leave, and the new captain would come on to that ship. So this was his situation. But the previous captain was coming off the ship, and after they had this whole ceremony, they all began to clap. Big round of applause and everything. But as he realized what was going on, they weren't clapping because they were honoring him as he was coming off the ship, but that they were glad for him to go. And he realized at that moment, I have a lot of work to do on this ship. But the thing that sticks out in my mind, most of what he said, is that when they would go and begin to eat on the ship, it was customary for the higher ranking officers to be on the upper deck, and then that the place, a special place set out for them to eat, and they would be served up there. The sailors and the others, lower, you know, class type, would be on the main deck of the ship, and they would get all their food on that part. And what he began to do was he, the first day, came down and he went to the very back of the line to wait for his food. And all of the other sailors says, no, you're our captain. You need to be up front. And he says, and he responded to them and he says, no, I am the captain of this ship. If this ship is ever to go down, I'm the last one to go, because it's my ship and I need to serve you. And here's the other, you know, sort of higher ranking people still sitting up there looking down going, wow, what's he doing, you know? And then he sits down with them. And he said nothing about this. But the next day, all those other upper, higher ranking officers were sitting there down with him. Jesus is the same. He's our example. He's a servant. And he came to heal and to serve. Again, this morning we have the opportunity to put our faith and trust in our true commander-in-chief. A self-sacrificing leader, perfect in every way, who is willing to lay down his life and take up the cross again to the point of death. He did this because we are all paralyzed, you see, by sin. Just like that servant was paralyzed physically, but we are all paralyzed by sin and in need of a Savior. We all need healing. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, he, that is God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Many of these men that come to this Freedom House, this chemical dependency place, you know, I say, you cannot do this on your own. You need the help of Jesus Christ. See, when you come to Christ and he takes your sin away and he puts it upon himself as he has when he went to the cross, he did that because he was perfect. You see, and you know that you're not perfect, neither am I. And they all seem to understand that point. But see, it doesn't stop there. See, the second thing is that when you come to him and you put your full trust in him and faith, like the centurion, he gives you his righteousness so that we have a relationship with God. And then I'll name that person and I'll say, see, it's like you, Jim, Bob, whatever. It's like you. And God looks at you no longer in all of your sin, but he sees you now clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Wow. That's amazing. What an amazing gospel that we have. So I ask you this morning, who is worthy? I believe the only one that is truly worthy is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's perfect without sin. He's our living Savior. Next is the question, am I able to submit to the authority of that one who made me? And again, I think in today's world, we have more difficult time with the authority and submitting to authority. We often see the abuse of authority or power and become cynical. Maybe you've seen this in the church or government, or you read about it in the paper, see it in the news. We see this kind of thing all the time, the abuse of power and the abuse of authority. And someone has let you down. Your trust has waned. And you see injustice. Maybe that's you. But Jesus, the Bible says, he will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is the one that you can trust. And last, will I put my faith in him to save me? Jesus came to this earth to do much more than to heal that centurion's slave. He came to save you from your sin. And have you been beat up by the world? Have you been through a bitter divorce? Or relationships gone bad? Alcohol has gotten to you? Not seeing much hope in this life? I don't know where you're at. But Jesus came to save you from sin and give you a hope and a future. He gives you his life and will come to live with you and empower you by his Spirit. What a great God we serve. And it's Jesus that can transform your whole life. And I've seen it hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And I thank God for it. So today, who is worthy? Who has the authority? Who can we really put our faith in? It's Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory.